You're listening to the ANA Podcast Network, powered by Audacy, a leading multi-platform audio content and entertainment company. Listen on the Audacy app.
Hello and welcome to the Marketing Futures Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Berberich. We're winging our way back down to Orlando, Florida to bring you the best of the 2023 Masters of Marketing Conference. Today, my guests are the dynamic duo of Jamie Medeiros, Chief Brand Officer at Planet Fitness, and Katie Hornaday, Chief Creative Officer at Barclay. Jamie and Katie join the pod to talk about the advantages of being a purpose-native brand like Planet Fitness, as well as the ingredients behind a supercharged brand-agency relationship. They also discussed overcoming the enormous disruption to the fitness industry caused by the COVID pandemic.
All right, everybody, we are here on the ground, sunny Orlando, Florida. We are at the ANA Masters of Marketing Conference, and I have got two of the stars of the show on my podcast right now. Jamie Medeiros, the Chief Brand Officer of Planet Fitness, and Katie Hornaday, the Chief Creative Officer of Barclay. We've got some powerhouses in the house today. Thank you so, so much for being on the Marketing Futures podcast.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Well, I'm very excited to kind of talk about some of the things that you're going to be bringing to life to our attendees here at the conference. But I would like to start somewhere where I do, you know, I do my cursory research. I don't like to come into these things blind. And I noticed that both of you have very impressive tenure at your current jobs. That is something of a unicorn in this kind of ping-pongy industry that we all live in. So I would like to ask, what about your organizations has encouraged you to stay put? And Jamie, in particular, how does your history at Planet Fitness allow you to move the brand forward into the future?
It's a great question, and one I'm asked often. I've been with Planet Fitness in some capacity for 23 years. So that's something that you don't hear often these days. And my answer is always the same. The two things that have kept me motivated, kept me engaged, keep me searching for the next thing, the brand purpose and what we stand for. We don't just talk about it in our marketing. We truly believe it in our clubs. And not only do we live and breathe that every day at headquarters where I work, but people live it and breathe it in the clubs. So when you walk into a Planet Fitness, you're greeted with a smiling face. You're greeted with somebody that's going to welcome you in. So when you're able to be in charge of marketing that, it's such a special, special thing. So really understanding not only how we can help more people join fitness, how they can feel included, how they can, you know, experience the guidance and some of the platforms that we provide to them to help even people that have never joined a gym before, how they can feel comfortable in our clubs. Those are the things that we talk about a lot. How can we bring more people into the brand? So that's number one. And that's something that has not changed since the year 2000 when I joined. And the second thing is the people. And, you know, in particular, my team, my peers at headquarters, the amazing agencies I get to work with, it is truly special what we've created together, and having that motivation every single day just keeps me going, and seeing the growth of the company too. You know, I think about, oh my gosh, it's been so long, but my job has never really been the same. It's always changing. It's always evolving. Our challenges are changing. We've been through a lot as an organization. And so it definitely is never dull. It's always exciting. There's always something new to learn, a new challenge. So again, always the same answer. And I hope it continues to be.
Love it.
Yeah.
Katie?
Well, I'm going to sound like I've only been there a minute when I say I've been at Barclay for 12 years. But yeah, I mean, I would echo a lot of what Jamie said for the reasons that I've stayed at Barclay. The first is really that idea of change. The the first time I walked into Barclay, I got this sense that they were ready to build something, even though they had been around for over 40 years at that time. And so this idea of being part of something that can be continually built on and changed, I always say we operate in beta intentionally so that we're always trying to figure out where do we go next and what's the right thing for the brands that we work with and the partners that we have inside of our organization. And that keeps things really interesting. And I think it makes everybody feel like they have skin in the game. Like we're all building something as opposed to just sort of cogs in a wheel. And I think that keeps it really, really interesting. And then the people, for sure. I feel like I am so lucky. I work with some of the best people on the planet. Good, good humans who have become some of my best friends, but also some of the smartest people, people who challenge me every single day. And again, I think being able to build something you're really proud of alongside of some of your favorite people is a gift that I am never one to think of as, you know, something everyone has the opportunity to do. So I feel really, really grateful for that.
That's really fantastic. And I heard very much from when I talk to people who have very long-standing careers with one company that it has to be that kind of mix of personal and professional. Yeah. You know what I mean? If you're doing great work in a place that's just not somewhere where you want to show up every day, or if you've got a bunch of friends and nobody knows quite what they're doing, but we all love happy hours on Thursdays, those are not formulas for a long-standing success. So that's so very cool to hear that the balance is with both places, and makes sense why this is such a great partnership.
Absolutely.
So I want to touch on something that you said, Jamie, the brand purpose. It is a very, very important big thing in the industry right now. But so on my podcast, I've had a lot of digital natives, you know, that, you know, they grew up as SaaS or consultant or something like that. And in the 2010s, that just gave them a leg up on the competition. Something I touched in a conversation that we all had earlier is Planet Fitness feels like it's a purpose native. So in the year 2023, where there is such a premium put on authentic purpose, how does that give your brand an advantage in the industry?
I feel very, very fortunate that we are a brand built on purpose, because I think it can be such a buzzword. And I think we've all seen in recent years how that can backfire. And when you immediately do something that is inauthentic to try to gain market share or try to bring in a new audience, you know, people see through that. And so with Planet Fitness, since day one, we have been the judgment-free zone. And that has evolved over time. The fitness industry has evolved over time. So when you think about that, you know, back in the day, that was removing some of the barriers that presented themselves in form of a lunk or intimidation. And so that was something that we removed from our clubs. But over time, those things have evolved into behavior, into different types of media and how that can be intimidating or holding yourself to an achievable standard. Those are things that we take into account as we're developing, you know, whether it's new marketing campaigns or new things in the club. And so if we look at everything that we have done over the past, you know, 23 years, it's really founded in this idea of purpose. And that was the case in the year 2000, and that is the case now. And I feel fortunate that we have that anchor and don't have to create it. And it's not something that was manufactured in a boardroom. It's something we all believe in. And when people are new to our company or people are a new partner, we say we bleed purple and yellow. And you walk into our office and you truly feel that energy, because we protect, we believe in what we're doing. And the other thing that's so amazing is that we are able to market something. We were able to bring accessible fitness to people that either never thought they would join a gym before, were intimidated to join a gym before. So it's a marketable business and something you can feel good about going to work every day. You spend so much time at work and so much time thinking about what's next or stressing about, you know, the next thing. And for that to be what your focus is every day, for me, you know, leaving my kids and leaving my husband every day to do something that I really believe in is really cool. And again, it's not manufactured. It's truly within the brand ethos. So that's something that we all feel really lucky to be a part of, me in particular.
Well, and yeah, and I mean, I quote this so many times and I forgot who said it, so I always apologize to this ephemeral person that I've been mimicking for now years. But a brand is every single touch point with the customer. Mm. Every single touch point with the customer. And when you can imbue purpose into every single touch point with the customer, that's really something special. Katie, what is it like working with such a, where purpose is just absolutely not, how do we position this? How do we frame this? What is that like coming in as a partner?
Yeah, so exactly what you just said about this idea of every single touch point being a brand, we call that whole brand. At Barclay, we're always looking to build whole brands. And a lot of times we're bringing in clients and, you know, they have a couple of parts and pieces of a whole brand and we get to help them figure out how to build out the rest of it in order to all be connected by this singular idea. The easiest way I can talk about Planet Fitness is, ever since the very first time that we pitched them, there have been a couple, we inherently knew that they were a brand that we had a crush on because they already really were a whole brand in so many ways. And we had the opportunity to partner with them to bring that to another level. To bring that to another generation, to continue to perpetuate that, but it was not about us finding it or creating it. In fact, I'll never forget the very first time we were in a room with their team and their team just starting to talk about the 80%, which is what we call the target audience, this 80% of the population that doesn't belong to a gym and doesn't feel like they can or should belong to a gym because they're not welcome. That's who we're looking for. That's who we're targeting. And I remember, you know, one of the few times where you hear a client right out of the gate so crystal clear about what their purpose was, because it's been there since the beginning, and us just like salivating at the opportunity to be a part of that because they were so clear on who they were. So a lot of that hard work's done. Now it's just how do we make it interesting and creative and breakthrough and make people pay attention to it. And so it's just been an amazing ride. And you know, that's a dream because we talk with a lot of clients. We do tons of giant purpose, purpose-led workshops and finding purpose or articulating purpose inside of clients' walls. So it's such a gift to have a brand that already has it there.
And we get along really well, too.
Yeah.
So that helps.
And we like each other. I wasn't picking that up. Now, I'm glad you mentioned that because that doesn't exude from every interaction the two of you have. So thank you for clarifying that for
that
me and our
about
listeners.
Loving to work with awesome human beings and being a gift.
Yeah.
Huge.
RAB, the not-for-profit industry trade association for the broadcast radio industry, is a partner in ANA's Thought Leadership Program and brings their Radio on Main Street podcast studio to ANA's Masters of Marketing Conference each year. In 2023, RAB had the opportunity to chat with many marketers, agencies, and marketing service providers about their businesses, their marketing goals, the issues they are most focused on, and of course, their thoughts about radio. Join me in listening and soaking in the insights and case studies featured in the Radio on Main Street ANA Masters of Marketing series and be inspired by how the power of audio will work for your brand to drive growth. Subscribe to Radio on Main Street wherever you listen to podcasts or visit rab.com and click Radio on Main Street.
So let's roll back the clock 3 years. The pandemic, the lockdown, the chaos, the mess, it affected every single vertical. Fitness and gyms in particular were hit astronomically hard. Could you take us through how you navigated that time to not only survive, but thrive?
Maybe we can share this response.
You go.
So you go first. When we started to see the impact that COVID was having on our clubs, it was a pretty fast impact. So in approximately 48 hours, all of our clubs shut down. It was 2,000 clubs shut down. So a lot of anxiety, a lot of unsettling conversations around how are we going to you know, navigate through this? Is this short term? Is this long term? Lots of unknowns. And one of the things that we talked about was, in the absence of knowing the path, what can we do and what should we be doing as an organization? If our clubs are shut down and we can't make fitness accessible in, you know, our brick and mortar locations, how can we achieve that in a different way? And so that those conversations weren't, you know, scheduled. It was like hallway, like, what are we going to do? You know, 500 more clubs shut down. This, you know, this state, this municipality is going into lockdown. And so it was a bit of a challenge for us, something we had never gone through before. And to your point, fitness was hit really, really hard. And we had a great partner in Barclay, and I think they were kind of thinking the same thing. So as these conversations were happening, there was some really amazing people at Barclay that were doing some thinking on our behalf. And from there...
So from New Hampshire, you hop over to Kansas City in March of 2020. And we were actually one day away from telling all of our partners that we were going home for 2 weeks.
And oh my goodness.
It's so adorably quaint.
Oh yeah.
Like that. And I have this really crystal clear memory. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't know we were going to tell our partners that, but we could sense that it was all starting to shift really fast. And I'm sitting in a room with myself, our president, Dan, and Doug, who was the creative director on the business at the time. And I just remember us starting to have this conversation around, like, if businesses close down and Planet Fitness closes down, what do we do? And I think a huge kudos to the Planet Fitness team and Jamie. They've always been really great about helping us understand their business through and through. So we understood how the business operates, how the EFTs operate, how the gyms stay up and running, how we keep members engaged. And we also understood their purpose to make sure that people didn't feel like anything was keeping them out of fitness. And there was about to be something that was potentially going to really keep people out of fitness.
Yes.
And so we started to say, well, like, how would we keep people moving? Because everybody's going to start to think about, like, how do I move while I'm trapped inside? And so we had a really simple idea at the time. We called it United We Move. And it was to use Facebook Live, to use our trainers, to create a daily workout that was on a scheduled time that people would show up and they would do a 30-minute workout with no equipment in their living rooms that they could start to move around. And we thought, we can do this for 2 weeks. We'll figure it out. And spoiler alert, it ended up being 365 days at the end of it all. But it was an amazing journey. It took us from everything from the first way we were producing it, which was in a small studio with folks in masks in Kansas City that we could bring together. Within 2 days of that, we needed a new production model because no one could be together. So we were sending kits to other homes and fitness spaces, to over the course of the year actually enlisting celebrities to help us be part of doing that daily workout. We brought together millions and millions of people who actually did workouts every single day with us.
That's
from
so
home.
Cool.
It became this amazing story that we got to tell to the press. An awesome story for the brand, and it totally delivered on the purpose.
Yeah.
If the barrier is COVID and the barrier is closed gyms, how do we make sure you keep moving? And we did it. We kept
moving. It was pretty amazing, those early phone calls of how are we going to ship things? How is this going to be produced? And it was a moment where, you know, we all came together. And I think one of the amazing things that we experienced with the Barclay team and United We Move is an output of that, to Katie's point. We bring in our partners as true extensions of our team. So to her point, they understood the business model. They understood that it was going to be a really, really trying time for us. And in this dark moment where 2,000 of our clubs closed, we were able to bring to light something that was motivating, exciting, and entertaining too. We really made sure that it wasn't just a rinse and repeat of all of the other things that you see. You know, we brought in celebrities. We brought in Doug the Pug, even.
It was
wild, but it was so fun and something, you know, everyone looked forward to. Our franchisees, our members, our team. It was something that brought a lot of light to a really, really dark time. And something we're really, really proud of today. And again, I think it speaks to the partnership that we have with Barclay and the team there to understand, wow, something is happening to this business. How can we help? And it's a really proud moment. It was a proud moment for us in light of everything else that was happening.
Well, and I would say, like, for those who are likely the audience listening to this podcast, to think about, like, clients, I think it's easy now for us to stand on the other side of it and go, like, it was really successful. That must have been easy to approve. Mm. But in the middle of thinking, we don't know if we're, like, how many clubs are going to be shut down for how long. We don't know how we're going to, like, what is going to be our profit margins over the next several months.
Yeah.
What we have to release a team to kind of say whatever on screen and trainers for live videos.
Yeah.
And it really is about believing in an idea enough, trusting your teams and your partnership enough, acting really fast. I mean, to get the PR team in the room to say, yes, we believe we can do this, to get the social team from PF in a room to say, yes, we believe we can do this, you know, everybody on the client side to align around something, even though we don't know all the answers in 48 hours and we got to pull this thing off, is a huge feat and one that shouldn't be undermined just on the other side where we go, yay, must have been simple.
I actually have some of the text exchange saved because it was such a back and forth. And for an organization like ours, we're very much an in-person, in, you know, being together. We like to do a lot of things at our office or, you know, with our partners. And so to be remote was another learning curve for us. So I have these amazing text messages from their team, from our team, figuring out how we're going to launch this. And at the end of the day, it was just, let's pull the trigger. Let's go. Here we are.
That's really
and
amazing.
It turned out to be a success, but you know,
there were moments
we're like, is this really a good idea?
Well, I mean, unique is a word that I think is overused, but that was a unique time in all of our lives.
To really
be able to keep that focus when everything around you is swirling into chaos. And I can just say personally, a 30-minute workout that I found online saved my sanity in about 300 pounds. So I understand the value that you deliver to so many Planet Fitness members in that. And that's just such a great story because it could have gone absolutely, you know, in despair and what are we going to do? And to turn it around like that was really, really cool. So let's bring it back to the present and even beyond. What is next? What is on the horizon for Planet Fitness for this partnership?
Well,
that we can hear.
Obviously. Our biggest time of the year, as it is for most people in the fitness industry, is Q1. I do want to note, though, we don't think about New Year's resolutions in the same way that others do. We think it's a great time of year to hit reset, but not in an intimidating way. So even though it's an important time, it's something that we approach very, very differently. So we have a lot of amazing things in the works for 2024 and really based in this idea of breaking down those barriers to fitness. And even in the year 2000 when I started to now, very, very similar. People are intimidated by the gym, how they're going to be perceived. Are they going to know what to do? Is someone going to be there to help me? And how can Planet Fitness break those barriers down and welcome more people in? How can we break down the 80% to 70%? How can we get that to 60%? How can we welcome more people into our clubs? And that's something that we really want to illustrate in a really, really distinct way in 2024. So we have a lot being buttoned up right now. The teams are hard at work and we are excited for the next campaign. And I think just trying to understand what else can do together, what can we do with our teams internally, my peers at PFHQ, what can we do to continue to innovate, but also stay true to our brand purpose. And that's something that is exciting to talk about and something that we're really pushing for as we look at, you know, the next 3 to 5 years.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. And I think like exactly what Jamie just said, this idea of like maintaining that core and what the brand's always been, but because of being a purpose-led organization that really aligns with the way that Gen Z thinks about brands, there's been a huge, you know, opening of that group coming into the gyms. There's a lot of things that they do with this High School Summer Pass is a program that actually allows any high schooler to work out for free at a Planet Fitness.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's been this amazing opportunity for us to do great creative that tells a story that drives them in, that actually gets parents to sign up. It's been huge. We had 3 million high schoolers sign up this past summer.
Oh my goodness.
which fun fact is like 10% of the U.S. teen population. It's like a lot.
It's a crazy amount.
It's a wild amount of teens.
Yeah. And so I think that's where there's a lot of energy and excitement. It's like, mm-hmm. how do we continue to perpetuate that desire to be a part of the brand? Because mm-hmm. other brands are out there, again, manufacturing that, trying to figure yeah. out how do you connect with this generation and make yourself relevant? And mm-hmm. we already have that. So how do we capitalize on it and bring them in and again, mm-hmm. take 80 to 70 to 60
yeah.
and beyond?
That feels like a more fun challenge than kind of figuring yeah. out what we're doing right now.
Yeah.
So I have to imagine there are people listening to this right now who are very jealous of the brand agency relationship between Barclay and Planet
Fitness. They should
Fitness.
Be.
So,
it's a pretty good one.
Besides telling them to get over it, do you have any advice or key elements to what makes a really great, really effective brand agency partnership?
Mm-hmm. From my perspective, I have always had the most success with partners that collaborate and will come in and understand the full business and the full picture. And I think that you push your agency to get the most out of them. And I understand that from a client perspective. You always want to do more with less. But I also think the partnership is truly important, and the understanding of the challenges we're each up against, understanding some of the longer term conversations that are maybe happening within the organization. And when I talk about the Barclay team, we talk about them as an extension of our team. And that's not just me, that's my entire organization. And so when you have understanding and that collaboration and that shared goal, I think it's really important. And that's how we've gotten the most out of our agency versus being more transactional. You love your work, and if you love your work and you love the people you work with, to both of our points earlier, you're going to automatically be more invested in it. And so I've only approached agencies in that way, and the ones that really click are the ones that we've gotten the most meaningful work out of.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah,
and I think it totally goes both ways. Mm-hmm. I think we are most successful when we feel like we're part of a team mm-hmm. and when we're totally in the know. Like yeah. amazing transparency that you know what a client is up against, so that you know how to arm them right in internal conversations where you're not in the room, or you know what is going to be the thing that's going to make this idea bulletproof, even mm-hmm. if it's something that maybe someone else, another stakeholder in the organization may not immediately agree with. Like, mm-hmm. how do you bring us totally into the fold so that we are your ally in everything that you're doing, whether we're with you or not? And then, yeah, I think it's so relationship based. It sounds mm-hmm. so simple, but it is. Like yeah. It's the same way that I talk about how we foster, great teams inside of Barclay and then even beyond, is like knowing that you mm-hmm. like each other and you care about each other as sure. humans on a rudimentary level, then everything that you stack on top of that is all based on like wanting us all to succeed. Mm-hmm. And yeah. so I think when you feel that from a partner, it makes all the mm-hmm. difference in the world.
Yeah.
I just love that so much.
I've texted Katie before meetings before that she's had no involvement in at all, and been like, I just need a minute. Can I run something by you? And as much as, yes, she's our agency, it's something that I definitely value as, a colleague, as a mentor, so that she'll understand what I'm going through, even just as a woman in business.
Yeah,
and that's been huge too.
Same. That is like the greatest gift of the last couple of, decades. Yeah. And like being able to work with other women mm-hmm. that you like really adore as yeah. a human, and yeah. that you both have the same types of goals, and that you can talk to each other mm-hmm. because you understand you might be up against different things. It's mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's nice to have that support.
That really is amazing.
Yeah. yeah.
Because you talk to so many people, and there's just a lot of frustration and like an adversarial nature to brand partner. And it really, we're all busy people in a very chaotic world, but it makes no sense. And to just hear how you're helping out inside the organization and mm-hmm. where you want to make sure you're challenging, but it's not a, okay, what's that? It's not a firing range
right,
or something
right.
like that.
Right.
This is really, I think, a blueprint for anybody who really wants to maximize their partnership. So just kudos to both of you.
I was going to add one thing there.
Please.
This is pretty funny because it makes me think of Planet Fitness. One of our ECDs, our ECD who actually works on Planet Fitness, has this great line that he uses. He says, some people show up to the comedy club and they want to laugh and others don't. Mm. And that is like what you just said. The ones who are like, show me what you got. Like, those are the people who show up to the comedy club and they don't want to laugh.
Right.
Planet Fitness always shows up and they want to laugh. And I think right there is such a key to when these things
That's
go right.
Amazing.
Like, you inherently want to win and you believe you can win together. And sometimes you have clients who are just like, show me what you got, and I believe that this is not going to be good.
No.
Before you begin, no.
Right, exactly.
That's
terrible.
So, show up to the comedy club, ready to laugh. Planet Fitness always does. That's
I absolutely how we love
win.
That. I absolutely love that. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to pivot to some questions that we ask everybody who comes through the Marketing Futures podcast. We'll start small. What are your thoughts on diversity, equity, and inclusion?
Simple.
Yes, very simple question. One of the things that we have talked about throughout this whole podcast is this idea of purpose, and it's not an idea, it's within the brand. And so we are working every day to bring that to life. But I think as we understand how that can be more broad, as we talk about accessibility or as we talk about sustainability, working with our partners in the CSR space and understanding how we can be partnering to bring more people into the brand, but also this message of inclusivity and belonging is so, so important to us. And what are we doing within our policies? What are we doing within the headcount that we have at PFHQ? How are we being representative of our membership base that is so diverse? And so we are taking that very, very seriously beyond the purpose-driven judgment-free zone, but where does that also live within our clubs and our way to go about building our clubs long-term? What is our footprint? How does that impact the environment? And so as we think through being more broad with that purpose, that's something that we are prioritizing and something that we believe in. And again, it all is rooted in this idea of being inclusive, being accessible. So taking those anchors and really making sure that we're showing up as a brand in the right way and doing so authentically, whether that's in support of certain segments of the population or, how are we developing the policies, as I mentioned, in our clubs to support members of our community. And we're looking at it from all angles and really making sure we're doing that in an authentic way and in a way that makes sense for the brand. But the other thing that I think is amazing about Planet Fitness is we always have this lens of what is the right thing to do and what is the right thing to do for our member. And so if we take that into account too, you really can never go wrong. And that's been the case since, we were founded in 1992. How do we do right by the member? And that's something that we have a lot of conversations about and continue to see throughout our policies.
It's fantastic.
Katie. Oh, you're not off the hook.
No, I don't want to be off the hook.
Yeah, you. Okay,
let's
good.
Be okay,
this
let's
is a good
go.
One for Katie Hornaday.
I'm like, no.
And Katie Hornaday. Here we are.
I think in its simplest form, one of our core values at Barclay, the way that we've articulated it, is creativity demands diversity. And I think when you just think about creativity, the way that you are creative is to come up with unique ideas. And if your room is homogenous or your mindsets are homogenous, you get homogenous, ununique, unbreakthrough, uncreative ideas. And so really like that in its simplest form is what guides everything that we do. How do we get more perspectives into a room? How do we bring more people into the way that we make decisions or how we look at brands? But then it's also about working with brands that have that at the core of what they do as well. And then also working with brands that maybe they're on a journey and how can we help them? We really believe it to be so core to the way that we grow our business and the industry. A number of years ago, we had been working with the Brand Lab, which is an amazing organization, started in Minneapolis. We started the second chapter in Kansas City, and it helps expose kids at a young age to advertising as a potential career path. But then we kept thinking, how do we continue to perpetuate more opportunities for those who may not see advertising as a career path? And so we started our own portfolio school in our own walls. That's called the Barclay Creative Accelerator. We brought 4 students in that first year. We paid them to build their portfolios, and then we actually hired all of them, and then we'll re-up the next class next year. We've done a number of other programs where we bring in folks at the director level in order to experience advertising and then take on roles. So I think it's about believing it, stating it, working with other people who believe in the same thing, and then actually putting your money where your mouth is in order to create change. And so, just needless to say, I think it's unbelievably important. I think we're making tiny, teeny inches of progress across the whole industry, but it's going to be awesome to see the way that it impacts everything that we do.
Yeah.
So true.
Absolutely. And the reason I ask every single person who comes through here is because I truly believe there is no innovation in an echo chamber. It just is not possible. So I love that. I love that ethos from Barclay. So I think I've been pretty civil so far.
Oh, no.
This is the one that's, you know, I have to give some heads up so people have some time to think about this because... You know, I've had physicists on this show that have just broken down at this point. And sometimes it's the easiest thing in the world. So we're about to see. We're entering the terror dome here.
Terror dome.
Jamie, Katie, I'm going to need an answer from both of you.
Here we go.
What is your favorite artist or album of all time, and why?
So thank you for the heads up on
this.
It still is a really,
I'm
really
not a
hard
cool person.
Question to answer. I have been Googling and trying to figure out, am I answering this appropriately? So mine would be Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably a very widely agreed upon answer, I would say, but I
certainly not a bad
she
one.
She's just unbelievable, and I think that her message around empowerment is so great, and she's so talented. She did an interview with Oprah a while ago, and she talked about, you know, making sure that you're in a great place and that you're fulfilling, you know, your career goals before you're, you know, labeled someone's wife, I think was her quote.
Love that.
And it was really impactful for me because I think when I look at, you know, being a woman in business and having great, you know, colleagues like Katie, having people out there that are, you know, perpetuating that message is really, really important. You want to be, you know, I wanted to be a wife and a mom, but I also really wanted a career and do something every day I believe in, which I'm so, so fortunate to do. So I think she has a lot of really amazing messages and just unbelievably talented also.
Oh my God, yeah.
And just a rock star. So that's my answer, but I probably have 10 others I could give you to, which
that is
really hard.
That's
really hard.
And
it's
that kind of journey of self-discovery where you have to pick one.
So hard.
I have to say, Lemonade is one of my top 5 favorite albums of all time. It is just undeniable. So
sometimes the
simple answer is the best.
I had concert tickets this past. I couldn't go, but I did give them to a member of my team, so I felt okay about it. But I also was devastated.
I'm like, why?
Devastated
for another podcast.
Yes,
for work, I will say.
For a Patreon listener, we're going to hear about that story.
But she had a great time, so I was happy for her.
Oh my God.
But I heard it was amazing.
I know.
I'm not over it.
You're with friends.
Yes.
Katie, all time.
Okay, wait, before I go, you said Lemonade was top 5. What's your top one?
Ooh.
My top one? Okay, so this is thankfully not the first time this has been flipped. The first time it was flipped on me, I literally short-circuited. I had to, cut that out of the thing because I was speaking in tongues. It wasn't great. So my number one is not the best album I've ever heard of all time. It's not, it's Sublime by Sublime.
Yes.
Because I was like, I was raised on the oldies. My dad controlled the radio in the car, my mom in the house, and it was just oldies on both, which I love. That was a great foundation. But going into high school, I'm like, I should probably know what everybody else is listening to if I want to get a friend. And so I spent an entire day that summer sitting in front of the top of my radio, listening to Top 40, and Santeria by Sublime.
Oh, I know it well.
It just hooked in. And that entire album feels like the summer. I was born in the summer and we had no school, so it's my favorite season to this day. So yeah, Sublime by Sublime.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. All right, it's a solid answer.
Thanks, Katie. I appreciate it.
Okay, I'll give you mine.
Please.
At first, I thought the question was single best album. So I thought
you
maybe
could.
I was going to cheat by saying the best of Queen album. Because Queen, hands down, is my favorite artist.
Yeah.
And why? Lyrically, melodically, mm-hmm. for all purposes of karaoke. I just love everything about them. And even the energy it brings into our home when we throw on Queen and listen to it and we like play it on vinyl, which I'm not like we listen to it on vinyl type, but it's a real good time when the whole Hornaday house is going nuts over the best of Queen on vinyl. So that is mine, hands down. I have an old concert tee that I bought.
So good.
And one time, Jason Parks, our chief growth officer, I said something about like there's a cigarette burn in it, not for me. And he goes, oh, so that's like a real one? And I was like, I'm offended.
You should be offended.
I was like, did you think I bought it at like a Spencer's?
Yeah, like
yes,
Urban Outfitters? Like, what are we talking about
Queen
here?
Concert tee. So I actually wear it in my headshot for a lot of my like LinkedIn stuff. So huge Queen fan.
Absolutely.
That one was easy for me. But
absolutely love that. And yeah, it used to just be album, but I got so many times like album, maybe like 75. It's like, all right, artist or album.
Whatever.
I'm capitulating. Not happy about it. So I'm glad that you had an answer for both.
Yeah.
I won't make you pick a Beyonce
album. I didn't have an answer for both.
It is fine.
And
it's
I will
fine.
Get really stressed out.
Yes, exactly. I think we've got there. You did enough. I appreciate what you brought. This has been, in addition to illuminating, just an absolutely fantastic time. It's been such a pleasure and an honor having you as guests on the Marketing Futures Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Marketing Futures Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll join us in 2 weeks when my guests are Sarah Collinson and Dan Lucy, co-CEOs of Havas New York. The Marketing Futures Podcast airs Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern. Have an idea for a topic or a guest for an incoming show? Shoot us a note at marketingfutures@ana.net. And as always, find the tools you need to build your future at ana.net/futures.
This has been a presentation of the ANA Podcast Network, powered by Odyssey.